Today I want to go over a verse in Hosea that you may not have considered before. If you'll turn with me to Hosea 5 and verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have gotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. The word translated in Hosea as pagan comes from the word, which I won't pronounce, but I will just spell it out for you. Z-U-W-R, which means to be strange or become a stranger or become estranged. So I'd like to ask the question, how do you get pagan estranged from God's children? If God removes from a nation because of this, it is a very serious matter to consider. What comes to mind when you hear the word pagan? Definition of pagan by Merriam-Webster. Of relating to or having the characteristics of God, of pagans, observing pagan customs or beliefs. And just like yesterday, you know, we studied into the origins of the of most of the celebrations of Christmas, including the day that is celebrated. Obviously, we know Jesus was not born in the dead of winter because the shepherds are not in the fields tending the flocks. It has many of the same characteristics of pagan customs of Yule and other ancient celebrations that were done at the time of the year. This is from Learn Religions. In the Northern Hemisphere, the winter solstice has been celebrated for millennia. The Norse people, who called it Jule, viewed it as a time for much fasting and merrymaking. In addition to the Icelandic sagas are to be believed, this is a time to sacrifice, time of sacrifice as well. Traditional customs such as the Yule log, decorating the tree, wassailing, going door to door and singing in exchange for presents or drinking from the wassail bowl, can be traced back to Norse origins. The Celts of the British Isles celebrated midwinter as well, although little is known today about the specifics of what they did. Many traditions persist. According to the writings of Pliny the Elder, this is the time of year in which Druid priests sacrificed a white bull and gathered mistletoe in celebration. Until the 16th century, the winter months were a time of famine in Northern Europe. Most cattle were slaughtered so that they wouldn't have to be fed during the winter, making the solstice a time when fresh meat was plentiful. Most celebrations of the winter solstice in Europe evolved merriment and feasting in pre-Christian Scandinavia. The feast of Jule or Yule lasted for 12 days, celebrating the rebirth of the sun and giving rise to the custom of burning the Yule log. Does it sound familiar? The only part of the Christmas celebration you find in the Bible is the story of the birth of Christ, and that a Messiah would come as a baby born of a virgin. But we are not told to celebrate that day, or even told when it is. Going to read from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you don't need to turn there, but also in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, we're told in Luke 2:12 that this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. all the rest of the celebration, from the upright decorated tree, going to door-to-door singing, hanging mistletoe, the time of year, celebrating 12 days in exchange for gifts, comes straight from pagan celebrations. And what about Easter? This is considered the most holy time of the year in Christianity. I'm going to read from Ancient Origins. Easter is a festival and holiday celebrated by millions of people around the world who honor resurrection of the Jesus from the dead, described in the New Testament as having occurred 3 days after his crucifixion at Calvary. This is also the day that children excitedly wait for the Easter Bunny to arrive and deliver their treats of chocolate eggs. According to studies at Seattle University and Presbyterian minister, the Easter story comes from the Sumerian legend of Tammuz and his wife Ishtar, an epic myth called the Descent of Ishtar, found inscribed in cuneiform clay tablets dating back to 2100 BC. When Tammuz dies, Ishtar is grief-stricken and follows him to the underworld. In the underworld, she enters seven gates and her worldly attire is removed. She is judged, killed, and then hung on display. In her absence, the earth loses its fertility, crops cease to grow, and animals stop reproducing. Unless something is done, all life will end. After Ishtar had been missing for 3 days, her assistant goes to the other gods for help. And finally, one of them, Enki, creates two creatures to carry the plant of life and water of life down to the underworld, sprinkle them on Ishtar and Tammuz, resurrecting them and giving them the power to return to earth as the light of the sun for 6 months. After the 6 months are up, Tammuz returns to the underworld of the dead, remaining there for another 6 months, and Ishtar pursues him, prompting the water god to rescue them both. Thus were the cycles of winter death and spring life. The study is quick to point out that drawing parallels between the story of Jesus and the epic of Ishtar doesn't necessarily mean there wasn't a real person, Jesus, who was crucified, but rather that it was, if there was, a story about the structure and embellished in accordance with a pattern that is very ancient and widespread. In the 4th century, when Christians identified the exact site in Jerusalem where the empty tomb of Jesus had been located, they selected the spot where a temple of Aphrodite stood. The temple was torn down, and so the Church of the Holy Scripture was built, the holiest church in the Christian world. The most widely practiced custom on each Easter Sunday relate to the symbol of the rabbit and the egg. The hare is a symbol associated with Ishtar, representing the beginning of the springtime. Likewise, the egg has come to represent spring, fertility, and renewal. The Germanic mythology is said that Ishtar healed a wounded bird she found in the woods by changing it into a hare. Still partially a bird, the hare showed its gratitude to the goddess by laying eggs as gifts. The First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD established the date of Easter as the first Sunday after the full moon, following the March equinox. Satan knew well the story of how Jesus would come to be sacrificed for mankind and would rise again. He knew the virgin birth and created mother and child religions long before the birth of Christ. He has created counterfeits in advance of that God despised and told his people to have nothing to do with them. If you'll turn to Ezekiel 8:12-16, then he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, 'The Lord does not see us, the Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. Verse 14. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you'll see greater abominations than these. So he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs to the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. The celebration is outright called an abomination by God, described in detail even down to the Easter sunrise services that continues to today. Yet we think we can adopt it to Christianity. All these celebrations, including the obviously pagan Halloween, are centered around the children. These fake ways of worshiping God direct our children to a false God and toward greed and gluttony. They all involve sweet treats for children and gifts for them, while giving them a false narrative that keeps them from knowing the true God. Like any other sins, it becomes more addictive the longer you do it, and almost impossible to walk away from. Many people turn their back on Christianity because they feel like they are depriving children and grandchildren. God expects nothing less from us than that we teach our children a true religion, devoid of any paganism. If you turn to Jeremiah 10, verses 2 through 4, do not learn the way of the heathen. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed by them. For the customs of the people are futile, and for one cuts the tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. And if you'll drop down to verse 21, for the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and their flock shall be scattered. The shepherds of the flocks ascended to all of the pagan traditions that our forefathers who started this nation knew were pagan. They were interested in attendance more than the truth, and has led our nation to having pagan children. Perhaps if we want God to bless America, again, we should be asking ourselves if he even looks on us with favor. If we continue to worship him in the way the pagans worship, the way that causes our children to be estranged from God, only 10% of Americans choose to avoid these celebrations. Some people do try to make our Savior the center of the celebrations, but they keep all the rest of the trappings, Santa Claus, the tree, exchanging gifts, the bunny, the eggs. God's made clear you cannot choose for yourself how you worship him. He gave us an outline of his plan for mankind in the worship of the holy days that most of the self-proclaimed Christianity has never heard of, nor if they have, they consider them to be for the Jews only. Here's what God said about Abraham and what he expects from all of us who claim the name of Christ. Genesis 18 and verse 19. For I knew him, that he will command his children and household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The father of the faithful, Abraham, was known for making sure his offspring would keep the way of the Lord, and God made great promises to him for that faithfulness. If we want to reap the blessings of seeing our children and grandchildren grow up in a land of peace and calm, perhaps it's time to put away idolatry and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.